How to Lie with Statistics, Chapter 7, The Semi-Attached Figure. So after reading this book, I'm aware that the author mentions a lot about percentages that sometimes would frighten people when they look at the percentages. And so sometimes when he's describing the things, the examples that are in the book, he mentions things along the lines of 10% or 20% growth in something. So I'm wondering what exactly, what does that mean? And then does that mean that someone has to measure against the percentages that he provides? Because it seems as though the author is trying to make mental leaps and is trying to confuse the audience, therefore persuading them to buy products.
I definitely think there's an amount of, like, confusion that's going into, like, the numbers. Because even sometimes when I'm reading the book, I have to go back and reread them and try and figure out what the heck they're even implying, let alone what they're actually saying.
Right.
Yeah, that happened to me also with the chapter. I felt like I had to reread it a couple times to fully understand what he was talking about how it, like, affects the values.
Yeah. I feel like it's because he gives so many examples of things. Mm-hmm. Like, for every thing that he, like, let's say, argues about, he has to have, like, an example about it, so you keep reading all of that, and I kind of get confused.
Yeah.
So only some of them, like, stick to me, let's say. Like, for example, when he was talking about the accident and how people exaggerate the figures to scare other people, like, let's say they were talking about, they were saying that more people, like, are killed by airplanes now compared to 1910, but that doesn't really mean that airplanes are more dangerous now. It just means that more people travel.
Mm-hmm.
So he was trying to, like, I don't know, they just made it again look confusing.
Yeah.
So yeah, but I kind of like how he analyzes everything, because I would think the same thing. I would ask myself, wait, are airplanes, like, more dangerous now, or what's changing? But he kind of analyzed it, and he said, no, it's like people travel now more, and that makes sense, like, when you think about it.
Yeah, and then once you know it, it's kind of like, oh, well, duh. Like,
yeah.
Obviously, it's not, because the numbers are different. And it's definitely, like, thinking about, I think, they also really think about the target population that they're going for and stuff like that. Like, they, I don't know. Like, they want to make a certain impact on a certain group of people, and that's what they aim for.
Especially with health problems.
Yeah.
Like, let's say medicines and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
They since they know that's, like, important stuff because it's your health, they kind of, like, that's when they use
yeah.
it and they try to pull you more. Like, when they were talking about the medicine that could kill the cold or something like
yeah,
that. Yeah. And I like how it kind of, I don't know, I think he said this. He was like, if you can't prove what you want to prove, prove something else and demonstrate that they're both the same. So I feel like that they do that a lot.
Yeah, like, I agree.
And then he proves it by saying that you have achieved something remarkable by carefully using this the semi-attached.
And then, like, going along, kind of back to the exaggerating thing, I remember this one time I was on the internet doing my thing, and I found this, like, article about how it was this woman who was a fitness trainer or something like that, and she had this picture of herself where she looked, like, slightly fuller. It was, like, a before and then she had an after, where she looked a lot thinner and more toned.
Mm-hmm.
And she had in the comments, like, learn how I did this in just 15 minutes. And it was all about just the trickery and the photos and things like that. And so it's not even necessarily just with the numbers and statistics, like the whole advertising, like everything that they're putting out there is this extreme and trick to get people to be drawn
to
in.
To buy the products that help to...
Yeah, I find it so funny when I watch, like, commercials on TV, and when they're talking about the before, it's, like, the screen is, like, black and white, and then the person, let's say they're talking about a hair product, the hair is, like, really frizzy, the woman has no makeup, she looks like she just woke up, and then the after...
She's, like, not smiling, but she's always, like, upset, like,
and then, like, with this face, like, I hate my hair, and then
so
the after...
So animated.
Yeah, and then the after, she's, like, smiling, she has makeup on, which has nothing to do with the hair product. But she has makeup on.
And then, like, a fan, like, blowing her hair.
Yeah. And it looks like, it looks like they
Sprighter.
Definitely, yeah, like, they blow dry it and they strain her hair or
they, like,
curl
blow it out and
everything.
Yeah.
So you can tell that they did a lot of work, but it looks better because that's what they're trying to, like, fool you, I guess.
Yeah, there's definitely so much tricks. So many tricks. Not so much.
And
to marketing.
funny how people still buy the product and they kind of believe
that the product. And it's hard because, like, when you're looking at products, you're not always going to sit there and be like, well, I wonder if this statistic's true. You're like, ain't nobody got time for that. You're in a store and you're trying to buy something, and they know that. They know that you're not really going to sit there and try and analyze everything.
Chapter 8, A Post-Hoc Rise Again.
So Chapter 8 was mainly about correlation and causation. So I wanted to research what different, you know, false correlations and causations are out there. So I found two really good articles that I wanted to talk about and just read a quick excerpt from. I'll just give a summary. So the first article kind of establishes what causation and correlation actually are and how they're related to each other. But it also specifies, here's some examples, like children with bigger feet spell better, you know, like goofy things like that. And that has actually nothing to do with correlation and causation. Mm-hmm. And here's a more popular correlation and causation that a lot of people believe in, you know, it's kind of ridiculous. But a lot of people believe that vaccines such as, like, the mumps or measles type of vaccines are actually linked to giving kids autism, which is a huge...
Do you know why they believe that?
No.
They just say that.
They just say that. There's no... That's what I was about to say. There's no correlation and causation that people have actually discovered.
There's definitely a lot of people. I remember talking about it in a science class, actually, where we discussed, like...
And it's dangerous, too, because kids aren't getting these vaccines that they need.
Yeah, and then they're getting sick.
And then they're getting really sick. Yeah. So I just thought that was, like, a really...
That's interesting.
Interesting point that, you know,
yeah,
correlation causation is a valid show of collecting research, but at the same time, you have people that are using it for the totally wrong reasons.
Yeah. Now, I mean, there isn't a, just to, like, piggyback on what Robbie was saying, there is an example in the book that talked about how smokers get bad grades in school, like, you know, students who smoke in school, and he assumes that this is the case that applies to everyone who smokes. But to me, I think that his argument should be false because there's no data that basically shows how, you know, it's like, you know.
I mean, it's definitely kind of like how Mr. Miles is always saying, like, there's a lurking variable and there's probably something else going on. Like, the reason why that they want to smoke might lead them to have, like, if you're trying to be rebellious or something like that, then you're also going to be rebellious in your schoolwork, and that's something more than just smoking and bad grades.
It's like, what causes what? Let's say, like, do the bad grades, do having bad grades cause, like, the person want to smoke, or does smoking cause the bad grades? Like,
I mean, it's definitely, like, a removal of, like, any other kind of explanation. Like, it's just controlling the variables that you want to have the impact that you want them to have, and then saying, like, okay, well, then I want these things to have to do with each other, so I'm going to say that they do.
Right. Yeah. And actually, they do that, but sometimes I don't think they realize that one variable can be good and can be bad, can have, like, positive
or
results,
negative.
Or negative. Like, when he was talking about the rain and the growing trees, he was saying that in places where it rains, the trees grow more or faster, let's say. But in places, you would think that that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I think he didn't, like, the person didn't think about the places where it rains a lot, where the rain...
Too much.
Yeah, too much, where, like, the rain could actually become a bad thing.
Like, flooding and all that.
And the crops get, like, damaged and everything.
Yeah. Like, monsoons.
Chapter 9, How to Statisticulate.
So this chapter was kind of hard for me to understand, but what I really got out of it was just how percentages can give you a really, like, wrong idea of what's going on, the way that they use it. So, like, for me, when I go out and I see sales and stuff like that, if it's, like, multiple different things, like, percentages, I always get confused, and that's kind of, like, exactly what this chapter is talking about, which is kind of crazy. Just, like, how they add up percentages to look like you have a bigger deal than you actually have. So, I mean, when they were saying, I think it was one of them, but the selling price was, I don't remember the exact number, but I think it was, like, 20%, and then it said, from that 20%, you get 30%, and automatically in my head, I go, oh, that means I get 50% off that product. That's really great. But really what it's saying is I got 20% off. And then from what was taken away from the 20%, then only 30% of that. So it's really very little that I'm getting off of the deal, which is pretty sneaky.
This chapter is really confusing because what Rose was talking about, I kind of didn't really understand what they meant by saying that.
Mm-hmm.
And also they were saying like, oh, it was like an example about flowers. It's like flowers are now like 100% cheaper than they were before. Like what? That doesn't make any sense at all. How is something going to be 100% cheaper now than it was before? I just didn't understand that.
I think there was another one that was saying that it was like, the product was selling at a profit of 3,800%.
What?
I was like, what? How can something be more than 100%?
Yeah.
And I, even when he explained it, I really didn't understand what I was trying. I like kept rereading it. Which just didn't make sense to me. Like how someone could even write that and people are like, oh, yeah, 100%. Really
they should really stick with the terms 100% instead of going over.
I know. Why do they have to be so?
Because people don't know how to really do math like that. You can't just like pull out a calculator while you're in the store.
I don't even
and
understand
like figure out how much money you're.
Yeah. I just don't understand.
Paying.
Do you just like add a bunch of percentages? Like I don't even know.
Mm-mm.
This chapter was crazy, and I didn't really like it.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty.
Talked about the same things as before. It was also talking about like the averages and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like the median and the mode and like whatever they use.
It was just kind of like going over everything that he'd already talked about, and it kind of seemed redundant to me.
Yeah.
Chapter 10, How to Talk Back to a Statistic.
So honestly, this chapter is kind of like what I've been waiting for him to do the entire book, because it feels like for each chapter and each way that people lie with statistics, I was kind of hoping that he would have some kind of like counter to it, but it seems like he was just telling us that they were lying, and then he only gives a chapter on how to like defend it or like figure it out. And I don't know. I don't think that's really fair. I don't know.
Well, but I kind of was waiting for it too. I was like, well, how do I know if they're lying to me? How do I know if they're trying to like, if it makes sense or something like that?
Like, I get that you know because you're like really good with statistics.
Yeah.
But as a, you can't get mad at all consumers everywhere just because I can't figure out what you can.
If you're going to have a book that says how to lie with statistics, I think that you should expand the last chapter throughout the book.
Exactly. Like, I don't think it should have been a chapter. It should have been, like
well,
how
he
formatted.
Well, teach had a little bit of each of chapter 10 throughout each chapter.
Exactly.
Definitely.
And then, like, maybe a review, like a conclusion, kind of like, so what we've been learning throughout this whole thing is that we want to do these steps. But it seems like he was like, and then just here are these five questions. You know, and it's like all those examples you could have said, like, here's how you would do, figure it out.
And that's kind of, I feel like what he's saying is kind of like basic stuff, like who says so is like the first one.
Yeah.
It's like that's kind of like basic, like, yeah, they're going to say who's saying it.
Mm-hmm.
And like, how does he know? How am I going to know how the company came out with those?
Exactly. Like, you can't just call them and be like, I want to find out if this toothpaste commercial is honest. So, like, can you tell me where all
do doctors really recommend it? Like, how am I going to know?
Like, how am I going to get all that information? Ain't nobody got time to be, like, looking up all that.
You just can't believe anything.